It's a pleasure to open God's Word with you today. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 11. Our verses will be 25 to 30. Hear these words from the Lord. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So a question that I would like us all to ponder, and I will encourage you to do this privately. When we picture what God is like, what's the image that comes into our mind? Is God a caring father who puts his child up on his shoulders with joy? Or is God like a demanding perfectionist who expects us to be fully obedient and to know what he wants even before he says it? Or is God distant and far away, and the only way for him to bend down and give a listening ear is for us to follow his rules? Or maybe God is like an angry tyrant who's so quick to lash out in furious rage or frustration, and if we ever make a wrong turn, if we ever step out of line, then he'll quickly tell us what we're doing is wrong. On your own, take some time to ponder which out of the four sticks out to you. Suppose you asked me several years which of the four would stick out to me the most. Well, I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up going to church every single Sunday. So what was preached to me was the first one. What I actually felt was the last one. To give you an idea of what that kind of dynamic can look like, I grew up deeply struggling and wondering how God could possibly be someone who's welcoming. If anything, it would be easier to work towards getting his approval. And if anything was less than perfection, if anything wasn't good enough, then I would just feel burdened with the knowledge that I couldn't meet his standards. And I know the feeling of guilt and shame can be so familiar to so many of us. And perhaps a lot of you maybe have felt the same way. And when we have the wrong picture of God, we'll never fully grasp the weight of our sin, but more importantly, we'll never fully grasp how great his mercies truly are. So today, we get to see how welcoming and close God truly is. Our passage shows us that God reveals himself through Christ and offers himself to those who are childlike, those of us who feel guilty and shameful, those of us who are weighed down with heavy burdens. Christ invites us into a new life. So in this sermon, there's three things that I'll highlight. Firstly, it's that a childlike faith reveals Christ, and it's that Christ reveals the Father. And finally, Christ invites all of us who are burdened to come and know him. This story begins with Jesus praying to the Father, and specifically, he thanks him for hiding some things while revealing some things to others. Specifically, God hides his truth from the wise and the learned, and he reveals it to the childlike instead. How do we hold these two things together? The wise and learned doesn't necessarily mean people who are smarter or people with a higher education. It refers to people who are too stubborn to acknowledge their need for God. People who are overconfident in themselves. who feel like it's better to live life alone than it is asking for help. People who were too prideful to listen to those around them. The wise and the learned are overly independent and they're self-reliant on themselves. And on the other hand, the childlike are humble enough to recognize their need for God. The childlike are receptive to God's truth. When I think of what it means to be childlike, I'm sure this is a story that's familiar with a lot of you. I grew up watching and also reading the Chronicles of Narnia, and when I think of Lucy Pevensey, who is the youngest out of the four main characters in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, she's the first one to believe in Narnia. And she's not a skeptic, or she doesn't come to her conclusions by logic, but once she experiences Narnia, she believes. And even when her siblings belittle her or make fun of her, she still chooses to believe in Narnia. Her oldest brother, Peter, lectures her and accuses her of lying, claiming that nothing's behind the wardrobe. And C.S. Lewis writes, "For the next few days, Lucy was very miserable. She could have made it up with the others quite easily at any moment if she could have brought herself to say the whole thing was only a story made up for fun. But Lucy was a very trustful girl, and she knew that she was really in the right, and she could not bring herself to say this." Lucy shows that she believes Narnia exists even when her siblings would tell her otherwise. And what Lucy exemplifies is what it means to be childlike and what it means to truly be dependent on Christ. When we read Scripture, when we are invited to know Jesus, we're also asked to be childlike, to have a curiosity and an eagerness to trust in Him. And Christ Himself in this passage shows us that He's fully willing to embrace us. He's willing to invite us to be completely dependent on Him. And the next section shows us who truly knows God and how He reveals, how we can receive Him. So Christ reveals us to the Father. He says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal." This verse shows the intimate relationship that the Father and the Son have together. All things from the Father have been given to the Son, and both the Father and the Son share the same mission to save and redeem His creation. The Father's willing to send His Son and bring salvation for His people. And as for the Son, He reciprocates faithfulness by obeying and even praying to the Father. So I know a lot of this sounds like kind of dense theology, so I'll try to parse out what it means for the Father and for the Son to know each other intimately. Jesus expands on His unique relationship with the Father by saying, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son." When this passage uses knowledge, typically when knowledge is actually used in Scripture, it isn't simply knowing a lot of information about someone. It's not even two acquaintances who were so familiar with each other. The level of intimacy that these two persons share is far greater and far higher than any relationship that we can have on this earth. Christ the Son and God the Father share something that nobody else in this world can have, and that's a perfect knowledge of each other. The Reformed theologian J.I. Packer, he wrote a book called Knowing God, and he describes the limitations of human knowledge, and he compares it to what God's knowledge of Himself looks like. J.I. Packer writes, "One does not know a living thing until one knows its past history and how it's likely to react and behave under certain circumstances. In the case of human beings, knowing becomes much more complicated. People keep secrets. They do not show everyone everything in their hearts. You may spend months and years doing things in the company of another person and still have to say that at the end of that time, I don't really know them at all. Even the strongest human friendships, even the strongest marriages carry certain limitations, but the Father and the Son are completely transparent. They don't keep secrets. Their thoughts and their knowledge of each other is completely honest. It's complete transparency and it's full vulnerability. And the intimacy that the Father and the Son have with each other is also something that we get to experience as well. The rest of verse 27 tells us that we know God only through Christ, and Jesus reveals who God truly is. Jesus reveals that the intimate relationship with the Father and Son is revealed to us through him. And when Jesus comes down to earth, Jesus shows us what God's heart is like for hurting people. God ministers and cares to broken people. He searches for those who are in need of help. Christ comes down to show the deep love that the Father has for us. And when we know Jesus, when we know God with a childlike faith and dependency, we realize that our faith isn't just head knowledge to shape our morality or to help us to live more righteously or to be more better people. But faith and to truly know God is to truly have our heart changed and to have our sins freed. We began by seeing that Jesus welcomes us to be childlike and to be dependent on him. And then we get to see that we know our God through the Son. And finally, the last three verses in this passage shows us who Jesus invites us to know and what exactly he offers us. Christ invites the heavily burdened to rest on him. And in the final three verses, he offers this invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ invites all of us to rest on him. Who can receive childlike faith? Who is Jesus willing to reveal himself to? All of us who are weary and heavily burdened. Notice here that Jesus doesn't say, come to me all who are righteous, who are well-educated, who are rich and have high social standing. But Jesus speaks to those who are weighed down by sin, those who feel guilt and shame. Jesus says, all of you who feel weighed down, who feel weight and burdens on your shoulders, those are who he wants to invite, and those are who he wants to know. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. At this time, yokes were a wooden harness that typically joined two animals, typically oxen, and they would be used to pull heavy objects for farming. Jesus is using yoke metaphorically as a way to describe sin. It's the sin that we can carry. Inside of our own life, what are the yokes that we are carrying? Does our sin tell us that we're too sinful, too broken, that God doesn't even want to be with us? Does our sin tell us that we're too broken, that we're disqualified from a relationship with Christ? Or does our sin tell us that we're not welcome to come to church because we're broken? And if that's the yoke that sounds so familiar to us, if that's the yoke that we're carrying, Jesus invites us to live in a new and a better way. Jesus invites us all to learn from him. Instead of being weighed down with the heavy yoke of sin and guilt, he offers us a lighter yoke instead. Bearing Jesus' yoke means letting Christ becoming our teacher and puts us as his disciples. To return to the metaphor of the oxen carrying the yoke, typically what farmers would do in this time period was, let's say that they were raising like a baby oxen and they're trying to teach it how to use an oak or how to use a yoke. They would pair it with an older oxen, and they would purposely give the older oxen the larger yoke so the younger oxen could actually learn. One of them was specifically made to be stronger and larger than the other to guide the smaller oxen. And when Christ gives us his yoke, it's less burdensome, and he's like the bigger oxen who carries the weights of sin, and he guides us to trust and listen and follow in his footsteps. A faith in Jesus isn't about doing more. It's not about being a better person. It's not centered on our morality, but it's about depending on Jesus. It's acknowledging the weight of our sin and giving them to God. Bearing Jesus' yoke means that we can fully trust in him to heal us from the weight of our shoulders. And instead of trying to overcome sin on our own works, we can receive grace through Christ. We can fully trust in his promises, and we can fully know that he's faithful and just to forgive us from every burden that we may be carrying. To tie this with the start of our passage, Jesus invites us to bring ourselves to him. Jesus calls us to be childlike and to let go of the guilt that we're holding. And Christ is calling all of us to depend on him and to receive his loving care. When we act, when we become childlike, when we're willing to trust in him without a shadow of a doubt, that's when Jesus replaces the crushing weight of sin with a new yoke, and one that's so much better, one that frees us. At the beginning, I shared that when I first pictured what God was like growing up, it wasn't really a caring father, it wasn't someone who was loving or someone who was forgiving, but instead it was someone that I thought I needed to work towards. I needed to fix myself before I can come to Christ. As we close our time, this is what Jesus invites us to, and this is a picture. This is what resonated with me when I got to picture who Jesus truly is. When I was struggling deeply with legalism and I was wondering, am I ever going to be worthy enough to truly be loved by God? How much do I need to work until I earn his forgiveness? It sucked all of the joy out of being a Christian. One practice that should bring us joy, but instead it brought me constantly disappointed, was actually my prayer life. I remember praying every single night, and let's say if I ever dozed off or lost focus or accidentally went to sleep because I was tired, I would wake up the next day just feeling like I disappointed God, feeling like I left him hanging, or feeling like I wasn't being good enough. Most mornings, I would wake up feeling like I needed to confess or apologize to God for not focusing so much on my prayer or for falling asleep halfway through. In undergrad, I shared this with my campus minister. In his words, the picture that he gave me felt like they were truly from God. Recently, him and his wife had a baby, and he told me one of the best parts of being a dad and being a mom is when he gets to hold his child in his arms when she sleeps, knowing that she's completely rested on their parents. And that's the childlike rest and delight that God offers to each one of us. When we approach God with our burdens and with our shame, Jesus holds us in the palm of his hand, and there's no anger in his heart, no accusation that he brings, but he fully delights in getting to know us, and he fully delights in having our fears melted away, having our burdens relieved, and to receive a new life. Friends, Jesus invites us that we can fully depend on God. There isn't a moment when his care and his love for you would ever falter. There isn't a moment where your sin would ever disqualify you from a relationship with him. All of us here are welcome to be dependent on him. As he invites us all, he invites us, so let's be ready to receive him. Let's be ready to be fully dependent on him, knowing that he's completely reliable and eager to meet us where we're at. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you invite those who are broken, you invite the childlike to have faith in you. And Lord, as we reflect on our own life, we recognize so many areas where we falter, so many areas where we can neglect you. And Lord, we thank you that even if our sin is great, your love and your mercy is far greater. May you free us from whatever burdens that we carry, and may we fully trust that you're a God who meets us, who frees us, and invites us to walk alongside you. In your name we pray, amen.